worship this morning, and welcome to people who are joining us on Zoom. Rosemary is going to take us through the intimations.
Good morning, and a warm welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. We will be celebrating communion during the service, and the table is open to all who love the Lord. And we hope all who are attending on Zoom have their wine or juice and bread ready too. Citation. Along with all other congregations, we have been cited to attend Presbytery on the 1st of October, when the Presbytery Mission Plan is due to be approved. This citation will be read in church this morning. The Church Walking Group, the next church walk is on Sunday, 2nd October. This will be around Limekilns, so please meet Cairnhill Church car park at 2 p.m. Doors Open Day. We are taking part in this five-wide event, which is scheduled today, and the church will be open until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Blythswood Care Shoebox Appeal for this year. We're once again supporting the Blythswood Care Shoebox Appeal. You can help by filling a shoebox with items from the list provided, donate items from the list, which we'll use to fill shoeboxes, give a donation of money for transport costs, or provide an empty shoebox. There is a box in the vestibule for donations, or please contact Elaine on 881 713 if you need items to be collected. The date for collection of shoeboxes is yet to be confirmed. Church Cycling Club. C4 has an outing to the Anstruther area planned for next Saturday, the 24th of September. Details will be circulated by email. Information about the group may be obtained from Derek on 882190. Monthly Coffee Mornings. We would very much like to restart holding the extremely successful Monthly Coffee Mornings, and due to the lapse of time since they were last held, 3 years, we are now looking for volunteers to help. If you can help, please email George at georgewhite643@gmail.com or telephone 07949596559 for further information. Thank you. And finally, before we look at the order of service, there will be a quick meeting of Kirk Session after this morning's service.
And just before we get to the order of service, thank you for mentioning Kirk Session. Were you suggesting that I read the citation, or does that need to be read? Yeah, okay. I'll read that to you. This is from the Presbytery of Fife, and it reads as follows. The Presbytery of Fife will meet in person and will be live streamed online on Saturday, 1st October 2022 from 10 a.m. with an order of the day at 10:30. At this meeting, the Presbytery will determine and include formal approval of the completed draft mission plan. Your congregation is cited to attend for their interest and is entitled to respond to the report through the contribution of one person representing the congregation. Indications of a desire to contribute to debate should be made to the Presbytery Clerk, the Reverend Dr. David Coulter, by email at fife@churchofscotland.org.uk prior to the meeting. And it is signed D. Coulter. That's the Reverend Dr. David Coulter, Presbytery Clerk. There are then two pages of instructions on how things are meant to go. I won't read them to you, but just so that you are aware, we are always represented at Presbytery. I will be there, and hopefully George will be fit and well as our Presbytery Elder. And should we think there is a need to speak, we will do so. But I'm not sure that there is anything that we want to contest as the West Villages group. So this is a Presbytery-wide thing, and as you can imagine, with 78 congregations across the presbytery, if everybody sent a delegation, we would need rather a large venue. So that's what that is about. It's about formal approvals. So that's the formality. I would also like to add, as I'm sure many of you know, Ailey Halley, who we know much better as Sandra's mum, sadly has passed away, and her funeral is going to take place next Saturday at 10:15 a.m. in Kirkcaldy Crematorium. So if you would like to attend that service, it's Saturday 10:15 at Kirkcaldy. So now I think we can have a wee look at the order of service for those who have screens so that you can see what we are going to do. And while that sits up there, we're going to take a moment of quiet as we prepare for worship and particularly prepare ourselves to meet around our Lord's table. Amen. If you were watching the service from St. Giles on Monday in commemoration of our Queen, you would know that that service in St. Giles began with the 100th Psalm, and I thought it was appropriate for us also to sing the 100th Psalm today. It's at hymn number 63, if you're using a hymn book, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive from your people the gifts that we offer. We ask you to take and use all that we offer of our time, talent, and money to your glory and to your praise. Amen. This morning, Kath is going to be leading us in our prayers.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and adore you. We lift our hearts to you because you are our all. We see your fingerprints in the clouds, in the hills and trees, on glossy apples and on the dewy grass. We see your image in the face of a child, in the stillness of a friend listening to the cares of another. We feel your touch in a warm embrace, in the gentle stroke on a wrinkled hand. We see your greatness in the starry sky, on the crashing waves of the ocean and the sifting sands. We see your vast, deep, and eternal love for us in your Son's death on the cross. Heavenly Father, we praise and adore you. We lift our hearts to you because you are our all, our Creator, our Redeemer, our God, our Father. Amen. In our prayer of confession, there is a response. So when you hear, "Lord Jesus, wash us clean," please respond with, "Forgive us and make us alive in you." So the response is, "Forgive us and make us alive in you." So let us pray again. We approached the throne of the servant king, who kneels and washes his disciples' feet, saying, "Lord Jesus, wash us clean, forgive us and make us alive in you." When we feel tempted to turn away from suffering and choose the easy path, "Lord Jesus, wash us clean, forgive us and make us alive in you." When we feel tempted to seek personal recognition and status above others, "Lord Jesus, wash us clean, forgive us and make us alive in you." When we feel tempted to pursue our own interests, but disregard the needs of the underprivileged and exploited, "Lord Jesus, wash us clean, forgive us and make us alive in you." When we feel tempted to strive for power or position and forget our calling to serve others, in your name, "Lord Jesus, wash us clean, forgive us and make us alive in you." As you have washed our feet, setting us an example to follow, may we do for others what you have done for us. So help us to be your thankful, faithful, forgiven servants for the sake of your kingdom. Amen.
To prepare for today's service of worship, I have used a fair bit of what was suggested as suitable for the two Sundays between the Queen's death and her funeral service, this of course being the second Sunday. But this is a communion service, so there needed to be some changes and some additions. One of the passages suggested for this Sunday was reading from Mark 10, verses 35 to 45. It is a very good reading, as you will hear soon. When I looked at the few verses just before this reading, I realised that that would make it absolutely appropriate for this as a communion Sunday. Verses 32 to 34 is where Jesus talks about going to Jerusalem and what awaits him there. We could say that it is, in Jesus' words, a brief summary of what would be the Easter story. It was only when I sat down to write that I realised these verses are in a sense setting the scene for the suggested verses reading from verse 35. The context for the story of James and John asking for places of honour is Jesus talking about his arrest, death and resurrection. It's one of those places where there is almost a jarring disconnection between two stories. It's so great that no right-minded author would put them together. Now, it is recorded in ancient writings, both by Papias and Irenaeus, who wrote in the 2nd century, and they said that Mark was Peter's interpreter. So what Mark wrote down was what Peter told him. And in my imagination, I have Mark going, "Are you sure? Jesus said that, and then James and John did this. Are you sure?" Because by the point the gospel was written, James and John, who along with Peter were Jesus' inner circle, these were the really great men of the early church. Greatest of the leaders, saints in that early Christian community. So it's strange that such a negative connection should be made. In other words, you wouldn't write it if it wasn't true. When we come to read this passage, don't think of it as two stories, one story with another story tacked on. It is one story with an internal contradiction. And what we read is not an accident, it's not an error, but it is something very human. How often do people not hear what they don't want to hear? And it's not just children. I sometimes speak to my grandsons, and if they don't want to hear it, they just carry on as if I had never spoken. How often do adults choose not to hear what they don't want to hear? And as I wrote those words, I thought, yes, 2007. In 2007, I was at General Assembly. And at that General Assembly, it was very clearly said and reported in the press that many ministers and elders were going to take back to their congregations a warning. It was announced that in 10 to 15 years, 40% of parish ministers would reach retirement age. And that warning has been repeated at General Assemblies ever since. The reason that it sticks so clearly in my mind is that in 2007, I realised that in 15 years, I would be 65. I fitted the category. What has struck me in these last few years, and particularly this year, is how many people have claimed that no one warned them of the challenge ahead. No one had said that we were going to struggle with ministries and buildings. It had never been said anywhere, and this was all a shock. And what was Presbytery thinking of not to be warning people? In other words, outside the church, and I have to say inside the church, we've had the warning, but we just didn't want to hear. James and John were oblivious to what Jesus said about Jerusalem. But Jesus took that situation, as he very often did when mistakes were made, and said, "Now, listen to this. You can learn from this." So as Elaine reads to us from Mark chapter 10, listen to it as one story with that disconnect in it, and particularly the teaching that Jesus takes from that situation. So, Elaine, would you to read to us from Mark 10?
So today's reading is Mark chapter 10, reading from verse 32 to 45. Jesus predicts his death. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We're going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." The request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Amen. And God may add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Hymn 374, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe." It was also quite surprising to listen to King Charles taking the oath and immediately following that giving guarantee of his support of Presbyterian government in the Church of Scotland. These are words that we hear every year in the Queen's letter to the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, and I presume that King Charles will follow the pattern that his mother did. King Charles III, in following his mother's example, will be very different from the two previous kings of that name. Charles I and Charles II very much believed in the divine right of kings. And I think I can say fairly clearly that they did not have an easy relationship with the Kirk. In direct contrast, Our late Queen seemed to have a very comfortable relationship with the church north of the border. Quite a number of comments have been made about her enjoyment of worship when she was here. Particular mention of the Canongate Kirk in Edinburgh, and maybe particularly that little church up north, Crathy Kirk, near Balmoral. Today is the last day of national mourning for the Queen, tomorrow the day of her funeral. During this time, we have heard a great deal that is positive about the life of our Queen, but we cannot be unaware that there are not all those who agree. We are very aware of the respect and affection by the vast majority of people in our land, but there have been discordant voices. To be honest, I have little or no time for those who have taken this as a moment to protest against the monarchy. The boos of a minority in the crowd are simply a lack of respect, and the banners displayed a shameful lack of compassion. I do have time for those who respectfully disagree with the idea of royalty as head of state. There is something admirable about those who can be polar opposites and yet show respect. Yes, during debate and at other times. To know when such a thing is appropriate, and maybe most importantly, to know when it is inappropriate. Through her life and reign, one of the criticisms that is made of the Queen is that she had and used wealth and privilege. And there is truth within the criticism. She did have wealth and privilege. The royal family do have wealth and privilege. But maybe we should remember that this is not something they chose, but that they were born to. King Charles comes to the throne and becomes head of state by birth. It's not something he has chosen. Looking back at the life and reign of our Queen, maybe the big question is not to do with wealth and privilege, but rather a question that is for all of us. What did you do with the things you had? Well, we know and we have been reminded several times that Princess Elizabeth, at the age of 21, made a promise of service. And we know that Queen Elizabeth fulfilled that promise. It is not only to the Queen that the question is asked. Regardless of what we have or don't have, our calling under God is to serve. King Charles has talked about the legacy of service left to him by the Queen, his mother. And we can rightly talk about her example of devoted and lifelong service, and the fact that she clearly served under the authority and kingship of Jesus. And of course, that in itself points us to our far greater example of service, and the one to whom we look to, the one to whom we are accountable. We acknowledge Jesus as the King of Kings and as the Lord of Lords. He is our eternal King. But in his own words, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you can read the little quotation up there underneath the title for this sermon, you'll notice that Martin Luther King says that to be great, you only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Here at Communion, we celebrate Jesus and his ultimate act of sacrifice in broken bread and shared wine. that he truly did serve with everything that he had. And whether we be monarch or people, Jesus calls upon us to follow his example of service. And so at the table, we remember Jesus in his death and resurrection, and his call as servant king for us to be a servant people. Kath is now going to lead us in our prayers for other people.
In our prayers for others, I've left silences within the prayer for our own personal prayers. So let us pray. Loving God, we pray for all those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. So we pray for the royal family, for those who work closely with Queen Elizabeth, and for the nations of Scotland, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, and the nations of the Commonwealth. We ask you, Lord, loving God, to uphold and strengthen our new King, Charles III, and the new Duke and Duchess of Rothesay, William and Catherine, as they take up their new roles. Heavenly Father, not only do we grieve the loss of a loved one, we grieve other losses, a job, income, a home, hopes and dreams, health and independence. So we pray for those we know in our families, our church, our villages, who are grieving for whatever reason in the silence which follows. We pray for our government with a new Prime Minister and Cabinet. Give them wisdom as they grapple with the energy crisis and the rise in the cost of living. Help them to deal with our poorly insulated and drafty housing stock, the inequalities and social deprivation across our lands. Give wisdom to our First Minister and her government and to all in local councils. We pray for those we know in our families, church and villages, who are struggling financially in the silence which follows. Loving God, we pray for the areas of our world struggling with drought. We think of eastern Ethiopia, northern Kenya and Somalia, where some 22 million people could be at risk of starvation. We think of large parts of the DR Congo and Uganda, Europe, Western United States of America, Siberia and Southern China, who are also experiencing very dry conditions. And we think of parts of the world struggling with flood. We name before you Pakistan, Northern China, Senegal, Mauritania and Southern Sudan. Father, we know that these disasters are the result of climate change. Help us to be your servants and play our part in Scotland's journey to net zero. Loving Father, we pray for all who faithfully serve you in difficult and demanding situations. We think of the work of Compassion and of the local food bank. We think of the work of Christian Aid. And so, loving Father, we pray for people and situations which are on our own hearts in the silence which follows. And in the final silence, we pray for ourselves. Loving Father, We ask that you hear our prayers. In the name of Jesus, amen.
As we prepare to meet at the Lord's table, we sing hymn 553, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's table. The Lord Jesus invites us to share this joyful feast. How can I repay the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the Lord by name. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us follow the example of our Lord in word and action. And as Jesus gave thanks before the meal, let us also remember and thank God for his mercies to us. Let us pray. Almighty God, it is right to give you thanks and praise, for you are Creator and Lord of all. You created all things in heaven and on earth. You are the giver of life. You created humanity in your own image and gave us stewardship of the earth. When we and all humanity had fallen, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reveal your love and to save us from sin and death. We gather here at our Lord's table by his invitation. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the bread and upon the wine, that we who eat and drink at this table may share the life of Christ our Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth. Bring in your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Bring us to that place where we know the unity of Christ, and in this bread and wine, a foretaste of eternal joy. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, all honour and glory are yours forever. And in the words of Jesus, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We do this in obedience to Christ's example and appointment. On the night of his betrayal, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup and said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, give us your peace. We receive the bread. Take this and eat it. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Let us pray. Gracious, thank you for all that we have received here at our Lord's table. You have given us the true bread of heaven. You have given us the cup of promise. Here we are united in worship with your people on earth and your people in heaven. Grant that, strengthened by this fellowship and by the Holy Spirit, we may continue Jesus' work in the world. To the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. To conclude our service, we sing hymn number 192, All My Hope on God is Founded. Oh, Spirit be with you and remain with you always.